This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Courtyard Club Call. My name's Jimmy Harmer and I'm heading down to Forest Green today. It's 8:45 on Friday, sat on my driveway in Stockport. Fingers crossed for good traffic. Let's see you there. Okay, it's 20 past two. I've eaten. Beautiful Italian restaurant in the village. Walking up to the ground now. It's about a 20 minute walk up the hill, and looking forward to getting there and making sure, or hoping that County get the 3 points. Okay, we've got into the ground. We are some of the lucky few that are in a covered seated stand, so if it does chuck it down, we're okay. I'm here with my daughter Chloe, and we're going to just do a quick score prediction. So I'm going to go 2-1. I think Madden and Wotton will score. Wotton is 2-1. Chloe, what do you think?
I think it's going to be 3-1, and I think Powell, Richards and Madden will score for us.
Okay, two wins. Fingers crossed that happens. So, half-time, 2-0. Boys have done really well. Forest Green just have not been in this game. Three-nil volley from Connor. Get in. Three-nil win. On to the next game. Fantastic performance from the boys. Second half dropped off a little bit, but first half was an absolute masterclass. Loved it. My man of the match. Either Touré, maybe Camps, maybe Richards. To be honest, four or five could have been. Over and out. So walking back to the car after the game, I've got a Forest Green fan with me. His name's Chris. Just going to tell us what he thought of us, I guess, and them.
Yeah, well, hi everyone. We played to our normal standard, which wasn't good enough. And man for man, you've got a great team. I enjoyed watching you play. Completely outplayed us. A well-deserved victory. And yeah, hope you do well next year when you get promotion. Congratulations.
Oh, cheers, mate. I really appreciate that. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. Hopefully we can stay up too.
Thank you. Cheers, pal.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Courtyard Club Call, number 30, I think it is. Forest Green Rovers away. Again, very good win for us. We'll go through the usual stuff. As this was Friday that we played Forest Green Rovers away, we are playing Wimbledon at home on Monday, so there will be another Courtyard Club Call probably released on Tuesday. I'm joined, as always, by Dan and Jimmy. How are we doing, chaps?
Yeah, not too bad. Friday was good.
Yeah, good. Can't wait for this one.
Yes, you actually went, didn't you, Jimmy?
I did. Yeah, it was a... I think Dave said it was probably one of the most complete performances of the season in the way that we managed the game. We were like second gear, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very... It was a great opportunity to get some of the subs on early, and when you're playing two games in such quick succession as well, it must be a dream for the manager just to have a game like that. So it was great. Yeah, really absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, we will go through all the finer details, but we'll start with the lineup. So according to our encyclopedia of FOTMob, we played a 4-3-1-2, according to them. So we'll start with Ben Hinchliffe in net, Noyle on the right, Horsfall Pie in the centre, Torre left back. Then we've got Camps, Powell, Lemony Evans midfield. Richards playing just behind the front two and a front two of Wotton and Madden. Surprises in that lineup?
Oh, I think yeah.
The changes that he made for me, definitely. I wasn't expecting Noyle to be back so quickly. Really good to see him back playing. He doesn't look like he's missed a beat, does he? He came back strong. And as we sort of just mentioned, it was a very easy game to come back to, realistically. And yeah, playing Richards again. I don't know, he didn't mention, because I got nine out of 11. I think I had Crowsdale playing and I had Alafi. So obviously Richards and Noyle coming in. He didn't say anything about Alafi, did he? If there was an injury or anything, he just... I've not actually managed to watch the post-match yet. So if you two guys have, I don't know if he said anything.
He said more that he picked Richards because of his skill of attacking that space. Mm-hmm. He felt there was going to be certain space in between the way they play their back three, and that Richards could attack that space and make the most of it. So he said he picked the team on solely based on the opposition, basically. Right. But same again, I was surprised that Noyle, normally with players coming back from injury, he likes to put them off on the bench and bring them on and feed the minutes in to them. So I was surprised Noyle started, but not surprised. Obviously, we expected him to be involved in the game. And obviously, the other one, like you say, Richards. And same again, he's giving himself a right headache, I think, for Monday, because how do you... Same again. It's not normally when County win, he doesn't change a team when starting 11, unless there's an injury. Obviously, he has done that. And same again, where does he go for Monday? Because you could argue all them players that started on Friday deserve their start in on Monday as well.
On the formation, I mean, I would say being at the ground, it looked like a 3-4-2-1 because Lemon Hay Evans and Torre were so far up the pitch you could not class them as defenders. So he was relying on Noyle, Horsfall and Pie to keep them out, which wasn't difficult on the day. Richards and Madden were sort of either side of Wotton, maybe slightly further back. So Wotton was the point man. Yeah. And I'm going to say that the triangles that Lemon Hay Evans, Richards and Powell were creating in that first half, they were right in front of the away fans. So I was like undercover, right on the 18-yard line, the half that we scored the first two goals in. And those three were absolutely unplayable. And it goes to show, I think, I said last season when Lemon Hay Evans wasn't playing too well, he picks up some really good positions, but we just weren't finding him. We were playing the wrong balls.
Yeah.
But Powell has got this ability. Obviously, he's played at such a high level to find Lemon Hay Evans in these little pockets. And Richards was sort of playing off them as well, because obviously he's from Aston Villa. So it was really, really good. Really impressive.
Yeah, they do seem to have a good understanding, don't they, Lemon Hay Evans and Powell. And as you say, Richards seems to come in. As you say, he's a raw talent. He's got definitely got some skills, and hopefully we will see. Well, we might see him come back next season. We will wait and see. Obviously, first half and John Kieran said it on comms. Probably the most comfortable that we've been all season. As I say, they didn't have a single shot. They had one corner, which was in the 44th minute. They didn't have a single shot on target or off target.
They did have a shot on about the 70th minute, Waggy, but it was from 45 yards.
It wasn't even classed as a shot.
It wasn't even classed as a shot.
It wasn't even classed as a shot.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah, the first couple of camps. Sorry, Jimmy. Same.
Sorry, I was just going to say that that got a celebration from their fans. It was their first shot after 70 minutes. An ironic cheer.
So yeah, Callum Camps. I mean, it was really good pressure from the for the first 20 minutes. For the first 18, 19 minutes, Callum Camps picks that ball up, and watching the game, you could see Powell was screaming for him to pass it to him, and then he's just hit what is commonly known as a thunder bastard.
But until until that point of that first goal, I'm sat there, I looked at the clock and think 16 minutes gone here, and I'm thinking the time of this game's disappearing, and I don't think that was actually our first real chance at goal, that camp shot. And it was, even though we were so dominant in the game, and you know, it looked like a pre-season friendly for most of the game.
Yeah.
Until that first goal, I just felt that the time is slipping away from us. We needed to get that goal and allow them to see if they react to it. If not, then, you know, put our foot down on the accelerator and get another goal quickly. But until that goal, I was nervy. Not the fact that I didn't think we would lose the game. I just thought, I've seen this game before where County dominate. And, you know, apart from scoring a goal, we do everything else apart from it. So it might just be my nerves, but I say that first 15 minutes seemed to fly by as a half. I thought, we've played 5 minutes and look at the clock and it's actually 15.
Mm. I mean,
yeah, there was a lot of pressure. How did it come across, obviously, being at the ground, Jimmy? Did it feel as comfortable as it looked on telly?
It was an inevitability, I think. Yeah. To be fair, I mean, like, obviously, I saw their warm-up, and what surprised me was they were really high-intensity warm-ups. Like, the players looked absolutely knackered after they'd finished their warm-ups. It was, yeah. And there was quite a funny interaction with one of our fans, with Richard Keogh. He's a 37-year-old former Republic of Ireland international centre-back, big unit guy. And one of our fans just shouted over at him saying, "Oh, you look old." And he shouted back and said, "Yeah, I feel it, mate." And and then our fan shouted, "Your knees look old." And he said, "Yeah, I know they do." And it was just like a really nice interaction between like an old pro and like one of our pissed up fans. It was really fun.
Excellent. Brilliant. But yeah, as I say, so yeah, they had no chances on, no shots at all. So I think the first time I've actually seen an XG of zero, absolutely zero. Overall, we had 76 possession against their 24. We had 283 accurate passes against their 61 accurate passes. Total 10 shots on goal from us, 4 shots on target with 2 goals. We say it was just absolutely dominant, wasn't it? And then the second goal, 28 minutes, Rico Richards, good to see him get on the score sheet. I think again, was it from the corner?
Torre getting to the byline and pulling it back.
Yes.
So Torre's actually got 2 assists because he laid off the ball for Camps for the first one. And then I said the second one, he's managed to get to the bar. Same again. Very similar to the assist that he got last week, where he's managed to beat his player. He's got to the byline. He's pulled it back, and that's all we want him to do. It's not, you know, it's down to the other players' responsibilities to get into that position to connect onto the end of it. I just want him to get to the byline and pull it back, and he's done it. And Richard, same again. Absolutely cool. You sort of strolled onto the ball and side footed it into the net.
Do you think that goes back to what you've mentioned the last couple of weeks with Torre, is that because he's got Paddy Madden playing in front of him?
Well, as you're saying, as Jimmy said, that on the other side, the nice triangles between Evans and Powell on that side, it's definitely working with Paddy and Torre on the other side. Because I think, you know, if we had the stats, but how many times they probably passed to each other, the 1-2s. And I think having Paddy there does it, getting the best out of Torre. And we're seeing that, you know, Torre's Fot Mob scoring, I think, is like one of the highest in the actual League Two for the weekend. What you got for that game? And he's obviously got in the team in the week again. You know, two, you know, games on the trot now. And you could say, actually, four out of the four, since he had a bit of a clanger, he's had four games on the trot now. He's made one mistake, which some will say led to a goal, some say won't. But I think his form is really starting to sort of get better by the game.
You did call it last week, that partnership between Paddy and Torre, and how Paddy's sort of almost helping him through the game. And spot on. I mean, I'm not sure if you noticed, but the ref could have given a foul on Paddy in the lead up to the goal, but he allowed play to go on. Paddy sort of laid it off to Torre, who sort of went down the line, pulled the ball back to Rico, and what a great finish that was. But yeah, I'd probably put Camps into that 3-3 as well, because sort of Camps plays that side with those two.
Yeah.
Really good play.
Yeah, it did seem to be the two threes, didn't it? As you said, it was Evans, Powell and Richards seemed to have really good triangles. And then, as you say, Paddy, Camps and Torre on the other side were having some really good triangles. Anything else to add around the first half? As I say, it was just a stroll in the park, training exercise. I was just surprised they just didn't press anywhere in the pitch, did they? Because I think I'd probably say 70% of that half, we just sat in their half. The ball was in their half. Yeah. We were just, you know, even like Horsefall and Pye was overlapping Torre a couple of times. It's just like unbelievable.
I think John Kieran said it in the commentary. It looked like a game that was actually two divisions between them. Mm. You know, it looked like a League One team against a National League team for that game.
Yeah. He did say another great, and I did actually write this down because I thought it was brilliant, John Kieran. He said they were very, very powder puff defending. Which I thought was quite good. He's got another one which I will bring out for the second half once we get towards that. But anything else around the first half? Anything else you want to special mention?
I mean, it should have been three, shouldn't it, really? Mm. I mean, Paddy had a one-on-one.
Paddy had a one-on-one, yeah. He didn't do his Irish jig.
He didn't do that, so that's why
he didn't score it.
Exactly. But it's one of those that you miss it, but actually you're thinking, it doesn't really matter, we've won this game anyway. So
I look at that and I'm thinking to myself, is he actually trying to look for where Wotton is? Is he? Because I think Wotton needs a goal. He's desperate.
Yeah.
The ball seemed to bounce off him, ricochet off him. He just, had to take a second touch. And I just think to myself, did he look for where Wotton was to see if he could get Wotton in? And that, you know, 1 second of four actually got the goalkeeper, you know, the chance was gone and the goalkeeper got closed him down or, you know, tightened the angle for that chance. But like I say, I think on the commentary, it said that Challoner weren't too happy with that missed chance. And like you say, it was one of them. At that point, I think we're all thinking this is going to be another 5-0.
Yeah, definitely looked that way, or definitely thought that was going to be that way. So then obviously into the second half, and going off Fot Mob, it does say that they did actually have a shot.
Well,
in that second half,
I will be absolutely honest, and obviously as you pull another pint at half time and have a drink, I missed the first 5 minutes of the second half because I fell asleep.
No.
It was because
that's how comfortable the game was.
Exactly, it was like a friendly, you know, at that point, coming half time. And I, like I said, I woke up just before the second goal went in, so anything that happened before the third goal, I missed the first part of the second half,
right. Brilliant.
It was so, basically us in first gear, Dan, and that was it.
I felt all game that we had gears to go up, though. At any point, I did feel that we could have gone, I didn't even get out of second gear. I think we could have gone third and fourth gear. And because at times, we've played at a faster tempo, I felt, at times. And we don't have the game at 2-0, 3-0, it's won. We don't have to do anything else. And it's a case of managing players and managing the situation. But obviously, as the score comes through from Wrexham, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm looking at that goal difference. And it's, you know, this time last week, it was a 10-goal difference in Mansfield's favour. And now, as we speak, it's 2 goals.
Yeah.
And like I say, it could have very easily been level pegging again on goal difference.
Yeah, I think getting that third goal, and say, I mean, Kyle Wotton got the assist for the third goal. Mm. I think he just went a bit wide with it, didn't he, with the pass to him when he was sort of clear, but it was a great chip to the back post for Lemonay Evans. I think it took a bit of a deflection on the way through, but still another great strike. Made it 3-0, and as you say, that's it, definitely done, dusted. And we just, as you say, I think we dropped into first gear after that one. And then obviously made a couple of changes. And he, obvious one, bringing Noel off because it's his first game back. I thought he had, you know, he played brilliantly. I don't think, it didn't look like he'd been gone, realistically. So I don't know, I assume that he will have still been doing a certain amount of training, but just nothing heading wise, because he did still look fit, didn't he? He didn't look as if he'd been out since January the 1st.
And also for his mental health, you expect him, he's going to be around around the lads and stuff like that.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Because if he can, even if he's just doing the jogs and the light runs, you know, you'd expect him to be involved just to keep him part of the team and part, not, you know, they always say that when a player's injured, it's the worst part because, you know, if they can't get out and the changing, you know, on the grass with them, then they, you know, they feel isolated and it affects their mental health. So, yeah, I'd have expected, even though he might not have been doing the full programme, he's been involved quite a lot.
Yeah, he definitely got up and down the line very well in the first half. I was impressed. And obviously his first header, we were like, is he going to be okay? But he won his first header against his man. So
yeah, he did get clattered, didn't he? Was that the first half or the second half?
First half he got clattered,
wasn't it? Yeah.
What I was surprised about was that he didn't have, because I expected when they said he was coming back, you'd have like what happened with the Wolves player that now plays for Fulham, that he always now wears like a head guard on him after he had his knock. I was half expecting Noel to have some sort of head guard on or something like that as an extra layer of protection. But like you say, nothing to actually, you know, it looked like he'd never been away, in all fairness. Yeah. The only thing I wished, and that's just me wishful thinking, like you say, what a perfect game that would have been to bring Louis Barry back in.
Yeah, he's back in the building, isn't he? We'll have a little mention of him while he's back in the building, back on the grass with us. So, as you say, hopefully, big a couple of weeks, he'll be on the bench and then hopefully we'll get him some games. But as you say, I think a lot of people have mentioned it's just making sure that he's right. We don't need to rush him back. I think every single County fan would love to see him on a pitch before the end of the season. But it's his health. He's 5 months he's been out. But I think he's back. Is he back about a month early than what was expected, I think, isn't he? I think with his what was expected when he first got the injury.
I thought we were hoping sort of March, like end of March.
Right, okay.
Time. So I think it's pretty much bang on. I would say that Rico has definitely stepped up in the last sort of 2-3 games, and it takes some of the pressure off trying to get Barry back when you've got a guy with such good feet, such a low centre ground. He's not got the pace that Louis's got, but he's got the close control, and he sort of just manages to wriggle away from players a bit like Louis does. And he's quite strong on the ball as well. He doesn't get knocked off. And then when he does lose the ball, he tends to get back at his man pretty quick and more often than not wins the ball back again. So
Yeah, he did that. He did that a few times, didn't he? Certainly the first half.
Is that not like a Premier League thing, though, that, you know, a lot of them teams have that drilled in that if they lose the ball, they got like 3 seconds to win it back? And you, like you say, upper body strength is for a small, young lad as such. You can tell he's strong. And like you say, he loses the ball. And within 3 seconds, he's trying to win that ball back. And a lot of the time he wins it back, or he makes the player lose control of it and we get the ball back because, you know, he's misplaced a pass and stuff like that. So, yeah, like I say, Rico, you know, for his first loan outing, I think at the moment it's just a success story. And like you say, if we can get him back in the building for next season, for a season-long loan, I think at another level, another test, I think he'll actually be really a good addition.
Yeah. But I think the whole team has stepped up that intensity of trying to get the ball back quickly. I think we've done it, certainly did it against MK Dons, didn't we? And we did it against Forest Green. But as I say, yeah, so the other change on 63 minutes was Powell came off and Crowsdale came on. Again, Powell put in a brilliant shift. Get him rested. He'll be back on the pitch for Wimbledon. As you say, he's just his touch and his vision. I think we are, along with Camps and Powell, I think we're seeing the potential of why we signed them. The last few weeks, they have both been, you know, they've both been really, really good. And that was it, wasn't it, really? They made 3 changes around the same time, and it just didn't seem to make any difference. We completely took our foot off the gas, and even then, they just didn't seem to, like, up the tempo or up their pressing, thinking, trying to get back in the game. I think they were already, you know, they were already in the pub or already half asleep, by the looks of it.
Well, like I say, they've had one shot, according to Bot Mob Anthony. But same again, second half, we're still 72% possession.
Yeah, I think I remember, because it's showing that the shot was on the corner of the 6-yard box. And I think that
it wasn't
was
a even a shot.
No, exactly. It was a scuff and it went out for a goal kick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's on the, if you look at the Sky highlights, there's like this tiny little 5-second thing right at the end.
Mm.
I don't know why they've included it, because nothing really happens, but I think that's their shot. So, like, yeah, if you look at that, you'll basically
For me, they didn't have a single shot all game. They just didn't. Yeah, there was nothing. They didn't seem to have a game plan. You know what I mean? They almost looked like the away team, didn't they? For me, we looked like the home team, and it was just very, very, very easy. Well,
I mean, you look at the second half. I mean, I always thought the passes, I mean, in the second half, we've had 404 passes to their 148 accurate passes. We've absolutely blown them out of the water. 354 to their 86 accurate passes. And like I said, just all over the pitch, we just, you know, when you look at the stats, it's basically blue, 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 where we're better than them. The only time they've actually, which is daft as it sounds, but is defensively. Well, that's because we didn't defend. I think Ben only touched the ball twice in the whole game.
That was the other one that John Kieran came out with, is that realistically, Hinchliffe should have bought a ticket to sit with the spec, because he's been a spectator for the whole game. I quite like that one as well. But he didn't have one save to make. He didn't. There was no, I just say, one-on-ones or anything. Everything just, their passing in the final third was atrocious, and the decision making in the final third. So many times that you've seen the ball just go out of play, didn't it, for a goal kick or things like that. It was they were terrible.
And
they've got to play 4 out of the top 5 now, haven't they? Us included, the next 5 games are with the top 5. So I think they're gonna struggle.
If we had to play this game in a school playing field at your lunchtime break, we would have gone to rush goalkeepers. We would have had a rush goalkeeper. Honestly, let's be absolutely honest. You could have stuck Ben up front for the last 10 minutes of the game, and it really wouldn't have made no difference, because, like you say,
he's tied both his hands behind his back.
Yeah, yeah, because that's how bad it was. Even to the point, actually, if you're a Dave Challoner, you're thinking, all right, we're 15 minutes to go, let's take Ben off, actually, and put the other goalkeeper in. Give him do you know what I mean? Because it was literally
just that. Give him a run out.
Yeah, give him a run out, give him thing, and, you know, let Ben have an applause coming off the pitch, because he doesn't really get, that opportunity of being subbed off, like, you know, your Paddy Maddens will come off for the last 5 minutes and everyone give him a round of applause, but obviously goalkeepers don't get that privilege. But yeah, it was absolutely I'm hoping that I can't see it happening though. But the other two teams we've got to play at the bottom of the table are absolutely just as dire than what Forest Green were.
I think Sutton are putting a little bit more of a fight up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Forest Green are down. Their fans were so funny. They were like saying, "Shall we pretend that we've scored a goal?" and all that sort of stuff. And
I think, yeah, they cheered for the, because they got a corner, didn't they?
They got a corner, and they started doing the olays when they managed to put like four or five passes together.
Oh, yes, I did hear that. How did the pitch look? Because I know that there was a pitch inspection, wasn't there? There was one done on Thursday night. There was another one done at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it deemed okay, but then it absolutely lashed it down again, didn't it? And it lashed it down for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the game. So was it just bobbly? It was just bobbly.
The ball ran fine. There was no puddling. It was just a bit bobbly, that's all. Yeah.
Good.
But saying about the rain, that's two games now where we've played fantastic results and the weather's been biblical. So I'm hoping that every county fan's doing a weather rain dance and hoping that we get rain on Monday, and it rains on every game now, because we don't, whatever's working the last two games, we need to rinse and repeat and do it again for the next three, four, five games to the end of the season, till we get promotion, because whatever's what we're doing is working.
Yep. So the attendance was 3,145 with 1,148 county fans there, which I think really, for the distance that it was away, I thought that's a really good following to take down there. Overall, it was as comfortable as I've ever seen a 3-0 victory, realistically. Man of the match. So going off FOTMOB, Torre got man of the match. He got a 9.1. Camps got an 8.3. Lemony Evans got an 8.6. And then everybody else was in the sort of mid sevens. Ben got a 6.8. I thought he'd have got a 10 because he didn't have to make a save. Or has he got a 0 because he didn't have to make a save? do you agree, Torre, your man of the match? Or do either of you think anybody else, you'd pick somebody else?
No, I two assists. I thought he played well. Attacking wise, he hadn't got to do much defending. Yeah, I'm not upset that he's got it. If they give it to Camps, I wouldn't have been upset for that goal either. If they give it to Richards, I wouldn't have been upset. But, you know, I don't see no reason why you would have to, as it's been given to Torre, you would take it off him.
Yeah. What did you think, Jimmy, actually being there and watching it live or properly, if you like?
I just love Nick Powell. I think he just nicks it all together. And he didn't get an assist. He didn't get a goal, which is probably why his FOTMOB rating is only 7.5.
Yeah.
He
just wanted the ball all the time, didn't he?
He wanted the ball, and he took really intelligent positions, which sort of dragged their players into places they didn't really want to be. Sars is going to struggle to get back in the side with Powell being fit, because I don't think you can play the two of them in the same team. I think Camps is a better foil for the other side. But what an amazing dilemma to have for Dave. I mean, I don't know when Collar's back as well, but it's the business end of the season and you want as many players sort of fit and firing. And I think we've got that now. And I'm going to say it, we're going to win the league.
Yeah, and just, I mean, going to the bench, we've got Todd Kane, Crosdale, Sars, Tanto, Bailey, Neil Byrne, and obviously Jordan Smith. It was just that bench is starting to look really strong. And as you say, we've got Collar to come back. We've got obviously Barry to come in as well.
Was he left Hippolyte at home as well?
Yeah, Hippo's not even in the squad.
Yeah, Hippo was there. He was on the pitch and doing some training and stuff with the guys, but yeah, he wasn't in the match day squad.
That's good that he still travelled down then, even though I think that you would hope that they'd still be taking them down even if they're not in the match day squad. I totally agree. Torre, so I think that's his best match that he's had. The confidence seems to be coming back into him. And long may it continue, because as we've said previously, when he's not been having a really good time of it, is that nobody wants to get on his back. We all want him to succeed. We all want him to be a good player. And, you know, I'm glad that he's found his form at the right time, right part of the season. And hopefully he can carry that confidence through to the end of the season. And I'd say 90% I'm on the bandwagon if we're going to win the league again. That's always half full. Because I think, Mansfield, they just seem to be having their wobble a bit, don't they? I think we've got a game. Well, what we, how many points are we? So we are 1 point clear of Mansfield and Wrexham, but we've got a game in hand on both of them. Mansfield have still got, I think they've got Crewe, MK Dons. I think they've still got to play. They've still got some tough games to play. So maybe they're just starting to lose it. I mean, if they don't get automatic, shouldn't say it, but that'll be hilarious. Because they've been pretty much up there with us the whole season, haven't they?
Yeah, Monday is another sort of game day with some tasty fixtures. Mansfield are at home to Accrington. I think they blow hot and cold Accrington. They do look poor most of the time, but they seem to pull out a good result every now and again. Morecambe at Barrow, which is obviously quite an interesting one.
Barrow started picking up results again, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they could be a dark horse for the playoff place. MK Dons are away at Notts County, so you don't know what Notts County side's going to turn up from 1 week to the next. You've got us at home at Wimbledon. Now that you've got the battle of the clean sheets, both Ben and the Wimbledon goalkeeper are both on 15 clean sheets of the season. Both two of the tightest defences in the division. So that's got nil-nil written all over it. So I'm going for a 3-0 win for County. Because every time
are you coming up for the game, Dan?
No, I'm going to watch that one on the telly again this weekend. I can't get up for that, but I will be at the Sutton game next Saturday. But every time I think it's going to be a 3-0 win to County, it ends up being a 0-0 draw.
Right, well, so, you say 0-0 then, we'll be happy with that because we'll win 3-0.
But like I say, it's a battle of the goalkeepers and like I say, not many games left of the season. This could be, you know, a 1-0 win to County could mean the difference at the end of the season of Ben getting the golden glove. So, yeah, that for me, that one really has, something really interesting to look at. And obviously, it's a bit weird because Wrexham don't play on the Monday with the rest of us. They're playing on the Tuesday
night. Away at Doncaster.
Yeah, away to Doncaster. So that's... Same again. I know Doncaster have picked up a bit of form, but you know, you just don't know what team's going to turn up for them.
Yep. So final one. Anything about the referee? I think there was only two yellow cards for them. It was an easy game to referee as well. I don't think there was any controversial decisions or anything that went against him or that he missed or anything. So that's that. Anything else to add, chaps? If not, we will wrap it up there.
Just looking forward to the Wimbledon game very quickly. I think Torre, he's put his best performances in these away games that we've been talking about. And I'm hoping, keeping my fingers crossed, that he starts the game well against Wimbledon, because the majority of our crowd haven't seen that. They haven't seen him playing so well against these away teams that have been playing. So fingers crossed that he brings that form into that game and we get good Torre and not bad Torre.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so that's... I'll be at the Wimbledon game. You'll be at the Wimbledon game, Jimmy?
I'll be at the Wimbledon game, yeah. So if you're in the courtyard.
We will be in the courtyard beforehand. And we will do another club call after that game on the Tuesday. So we'll look forward to listening to that one. Apart from that, I think that's everything. Obviously, we've still got the live show on Wednesday, which is going to be very interesting because Russ is on holiday, so it's all down to me. So get ready for Car Crash TV. That's all I can say about that. Everybody, so I think Russ said we've got about 60 people that are patrons now. So again, thank you to all of you who will be listening to this, and hopefully see you all in the courtyard on Monday. Cheers all. Bye now. Bye.
The 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.